Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Bikini and the Brain podcast. My name is Ashley Kaltwasser, and I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend. You know him as at Team Elite Physique on Instagram. I know him as Coach Adam. Others call him Adam Bo or Bonilla.
It's true. You called me Bonilla for a while.
Bonilla, did I?
I don't. Yeah, way back in the day.
I called you only by last name.
That was no. You just called me Adam Bonilla.
Bonilla. Yeah,
that was like 7 years ago.
Fifi Fofilla. But it's Bonilla, just so you guys know. Bonilla.
Yes. So we're coming back this week from a little show known as the Olympia.
Yeah, it is a little local. It's a little local show.
A little local show. You guys should enter next year. $100. But yeah, this. What an incredible show.
Yeah.
Actually, what an incredible show.
It was a good one. It was one for the books. And I passed the final exam. I'm happy about that.
You did. You did pass the final exam. That's for sure.
I passed the final exam.
Ashley's always, that's how Ashley was like, it's like the final exam of the year.
Yeah.
You passed the class. You got an A.
I did. Yeah. Like, I always like to compare the Olympia to the final exam. So, you know, when a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, the Olympia, how exciting, are you excited? I'm like, yeah, it's exciting, but it's also very nerve-wracking, and it's very, very much about pressure. And, you know, I like to say, like, some of the, you know, shows that may be more at a local level or not as high of a tier show, you know, those are like fun shows and they're like, yeah, woo-hoo. But this one's like, nope, down to business. So yeah. It's all eyes are on you. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. So I like to compare it to like the final exam, because unfortunately what happens is sometimes it's like you can have an awesome year, but if you don't pass the final exam, you fail, right? You fail the class. But I passed.
You did.
Look, Mom, I passed. I got an A this year. I'm on the honor roll. Yay.
You did. You'd be on the honor roll. You'd be like, is it Sigma Cum Laude? You'd be everything. Yeah, this year. It was
exactly
good.
I'd get invited to an honors breakfast. I'd get like a little badge, you
know.
Yes,
a little sash.
So
let's see. How did you do at the Olympia, for those who don't know?
I ended up getting third place, which I'm super excited about. And what I'm most excited about is I'm like back in the mix, I think, is a good way to put it. I'm back in the mix.
Yeah.
I was out of the mix for, gosh, a long time. The Olympia mix. Because it always seemed like I'd have a good year, but I failed the final exam, right?
Yeah.
I would have years where I'd win almost all of my regular season shows. But at the Olympia, I would just, I don't know, pressure would get to me. I would do something stupid, or my body just wouldn't cooperate for that final show. But not this time. I finally pulled it together, and I'm finally back in the mix. So I'm super excited about that. I have not done this good since 2016. In 2016, let me give you guys a little summary of my seasons. So I won the Olympia in 2013, 14, and 15, okay? 2016, I got fourth place at the Olympia. Yeah. And then after that fourth place, I'm like, oh, I need a break. So I took 2017 off. I took an entire year off. Came back in 2018, and I got fifth place. And then in 2019, I got sixth place. 2020, I got seventh place. So I was like on the pattern of like getting a place lower each year, which was super frustrating. So I was like, you know, I told you my goal this year was to do better than I did last year and to reverse the trend of me placing one spot lower each year. That was like the goal. I didn't like say it to many people, but that's what the goal was. And I did that. I definitely reversed it big time. So now we're back in the mix. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and I didn't tell you my goal until after the Olympia, but my target was fourth. I was like, I think fourth is very, very realistic.
Yes.
And anything better is great. And I was
yes.
Like, that was my target. And I was like, there's a lot of scenarios where she can actually win it, but I'm going to target for fourth.
Yeah.
I'm going to consider that a win, you know?
Right.
And so, and just so you guys know too, because a lot of you guys maybe didn't see the Olympia, but a lot of guys who did see the Olympia kind of don't know how close it was. But this was the closest Olympia from first and third. And I've seen all the scorecards from years past. And this is, I gotta remember because it's so many years, but I feel like this is the closest one for many years. I have to like really look back at it. I haven't done that yet. But between first and third place, the difference was 3 points. And the difference between first and second place was 1 point. Mm-hmm. So Jennifer ended up winning. Congratulations, Jennifer.
Yay!
You know, love Jennifer. She's a Las Vegas guy, girl, and Mark is out here, her guy. And so we brought back first and third to Vegas, which is awesome. And there's another thing, too. Jennifer's Canadian, and is Laura Lee. So you're the number one Canadian.
I'm not Canadian.
Number one American.
In fact, fun fact, I was the only American in top five.
Really? Oh, that's right, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right, because you said Maureen. Yeah, you're right.
Dang. Yep. So I'm holding it down for the USA. Holding it down for the USA, man. These girls are coming from all over the place. I'm still holding it down for the US of A.
Thank you, Ashley.
Yes, appreciate God it. Bless America.
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 Laura Lee, 1 point behind Jennifer, and Ashley, 2 points behind Laura Lee. And crazy, crazy closeness with his scoring.
Yeah.
And all the judges said, Laura Lee could have won and we wouldn't have had any arguments from any of the top judges. Ashley could have won. We wouldn't have any argument. Everyone would have agreed upon it on the judging panel. It was that close.
Yeah.
So, and that comes from a judge.
That's yeah. Like, and if you judge. Want to kind of like explain how the points works, like, because a lot of people out there don't realize how it works. If they just think it gets tallied up. But actually two of the judges' scores automatically get knocked off the highest and the lowest, right?
Yes.
And then they take the middle and add them together, correct?
Yeah, it looks like, I did the math, and it looks like there was seven judges, two scores got knocked off, and they do that for quality control.
Yes.
Because, like, let's say...
In case there's, like, any weird judge that maybe isn't as, I guess, knowledgeable or something. But obviously in Olympia, that's not the case.
Yeah.
But they apply that rule to every single show, just in case.
Yeah, that's for, like, every single show, just in case, like, at a local show... You're some judge's ex-girlfriend who he's mad at is competing, and he places her dead last. Well, his score doesn't count, if there's some bias or something. It's a quality control thing. So, but they do it all the way up at the top just in case someone's having an off day or whatever. So, so first the highest and lowest score gets thrown out, and then however your placing is, that's how many points you get. So, if you're first place, you get 1 point. If you're second place, you get 2 points. Third, three. And so on, and then you add the points together, and it's like golf, the lowest score wins. So 8 points. So if it was a perfect score for Jennifer, she would have had 5 points, and then Laura Lee would have had 15, and then Ashley would have had 20. If that would be a perfect case scenario for first, second, third, if every judge agreed on the same winner. But it was 8, 9, and 11, which is nuts, because no one got perfect score. Everyone got at least, from that marker, everyone got at least 2 seconds. I think everyone got at least a first in that one to make that points actually add up, right? Everyone, I think, would have to get a first. So it's kind of crazy because it's weird how it all worked out. I did all the math, like all the scenarios, but you had to have at least one first. Jennifer had to have at least three. Laura Lee had to have at least two, like people thinking that she was first. And the scores were just, you could tell it was super hard for the judges to figure out the best one. It's the hardest division to score. And this year I found it as three separate looks. And I think that it was just defined on what they preferred, you know? And it was like whatever that their personal preference was for the look. And which I think is really good because it gives everyone, I like it better that way, to be honest. Because it gives everyone who has a different physique like an opportunity. Like they can look at Ashley and be like, I like the athletic bikini girl who's like, and Ashley would be the athletic bikini girl who's balanced. Nothing really is like, everything on her is crazy, of course, but nothing is like stands out. Whoa, that's crazy. Nothing's out of balance, right? And that's what I always say is you should be kind of put together very well like that. But she's athletic, she's lean, she was the leanest one, really popped. That's the athletic one. And then you have, Laura Lee, who has the wow factor. Her glutes are crazy. She's, can break Instagram with a good booty shot. So, like, that's the wow factor girl. Like, do you want that one, Or do you want, Jennifer, who I figured is more, she's a little softer, and she's more what I would consider, like, commercial bikini, where she could be, like, a full-on bikini model, a bikini fitness model, too. So it's, like, just different types of girls, all different structures, too, which is cool. So I like it that way because it's, gives a real good hope to everyone, you know?
Right. There's no set, like, you have to look just like this and have this structure. That is correct. And, you know, even looking at even further in the top 10, you'll see even more variety there. But it was very apparent in the top three call out there. I mean, we looked so different from each other. So different. It's almost like you wouldn't expect like that kind of mix to be at the top. But I'm glad it was, because like you said, it does give people hope that it's like different structures can thrive in bikini. You don't have to necessarily look a certain way. You have to look best for yourself. And I think even in like the conditioning level too, I found it to be interesting. You know, the judge's feedback for me was like, I looked better than I ever have, which was amazing news. And funny enough, it was probably my leanest look of the year, right? Yeah. So having my amount of leanness compared to maybe Jen, where they want her softer, see different looks for different body types, right? So for me, I can pull off a leaner look a little bit better. I cannot pull off soft. We tried looking softer. It doesn't look as good. It doesn't look as good as all. But, you know, for somebody like Jennifer, definitely can pull off that. And she wears it well, whereas I could never look that good if I was softer. But it's, you know, it's like we're different tastes. And that's why bikini is so volatile, is how you like to describe it. Unpredictable, which will bring up the point, too, that just how unpredictable and volatile bikini is every one of us in the top three, the first call out, we have placed at least third place or lower at a local show this year alone.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy to think? And that's just like, hey, somebody has their days and some people don't, different tastes, different judges, like certain things. So it's like, it's helpful to know that if you're like wanting a little bit of like motivation, I guess. Like, hey, if you don't do as good as you wanted to at a show, if you got third place at a show, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter at the end of the day, because it's a bikini. And if you do better at another show, then, you know, maybe a different set of judges, like, that look on you better. You know, it's just you play around with your look a little bit, but don't get too discouraged if you don't do as well as you wished at a smaller show or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and it's another important thing to say, too, is I think, is it this year? Or at least within the last, well, everyone in that top three has beaten everyone in that top three.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Jennifer's beaten Laura Lee and you. You've beaten Laura Lee and Jennifer. Laura Lee's beaten Jennifer and you. Like, it's like, that's all happened, you know? It's crazy. Yeah, so it's like, it's anyone's day on the right, you know, in the right scenarios, you know? Our scenario that I'm glad that we got past our East Coast curse, I'll call it, you know, because every time she was going to the East Coast, she would get just a little softer, like a little softer. I'm like, we're just going to go all out. We're going to prep for it and like just come in extra, be extra.
Oh, yeah, we overshot just in case. Yeah.
Get in there super early. She came in Monday night. You know, last time she came in Thursday, and you know, so it was like, we're just going to do everything that we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And it worked. And I think that that's another good thing to talk about, too. Because I'm sure that you're going to run into those issues and have to figure these things out. So that was another cool thing, dude, to figure out.
Yeah, definitely.
And now I guess, so you guys know, they're going to move it back to Vegas next year.
So now we're in our element. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Bring it on. I'm extra excited now. Yeah. Bring it on, man. In my hometown. Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun. It'll be fun, too, because Jennifer's down the street. You know, her and Mark will come here once in a while. So that'll be fun, too, to have them in their same city. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people down here for that time. That'll be fun next year. Like, so that'll be a real good time.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
So any other takes that you had from?
Yeah. I also wanted to point out, too, that I had a lot of people asking me, like, how the heck did you improve that much from the Arnold, which was 2 weeks ago, till now? Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. What can you do in 2 weeks to make such big improvements? And, you know, if you were tuning into our podcast previously, I mentioned that Arnold, which was 2 weeks ago, was probably my worst look of the year. I was still able to pull off a fourth, but it was not a look I was, like, excited about. I mean, I was happy to have placed fourth because I thought that was generous for me, because I know I didn't look my best. And, you know, a part of that was just kind of, like, stress and not sleeping, being out of my element. I just wasn't mentally there, and it kind of messed everything else up. My digestion sucked at the Arnold. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, I got sleep. I was more relaxed. I was less stressed. For whatever reason, I got it together, you know, and I really, really, really pushed hard in that home stretch, really did. We basically got rid of all my carbs until like the week of the show. And definitely there was one point before the Olympia, I was like, oh my gosh, am I too shredded? You know, I was afraid I was almost too lean for bikini. Because I haven't been this lean all year, I would say. But it all worked out, thank God. But surprisingly, before I went on for the Olympia, I was actually not stressed, and I wasn't even that nervous. I was like more calm. I was like a little bit nervous, but I was more calm than anything. So I don't know, I was just in a better headspace.
Yeah.
You know, I felt more prepared. I felt like I gave it everything, you know, hay's in the barn. Now I just gotta not do anything stupid, and it all kind of worked out for me. And you know, not even just physique, but everything seemed smoother with my posing and everything like that. So everything kind of just tied in together, which I was very happy about.
Yeah, you know what's funny is James called me last night, and he was like, he's like, I just want to give you guys credit. He's like, that was the best 2-week transformation I've seen in pro bikini in my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. You know, you know, a lot of people, actually I've had a couple people say it like, not that, but like, that was an incredible transformation. I don't know what you guys did and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, she just slept and grinded. That's really what it was.
A lot of sleep.
Yeah.
I slept so much better for Olympia for whatever reason. I don't know, man. But I was miserable the week of Arnold.
That was brutal, man. You were getting like 2 to 3 hours of sleep.
I know. And then, I don't know, I just, maybe just like my nerves calmed down after that and just was able to sleep. So I was super like thankful that I was able to, you know, my body was cooperating with me. And, you know, it was kind of cool to see my final form at the Olympia. But I'm not done yet, you know, of course. You know, I'm just getting started.
She's already talking about shows literally the day before the Olympia. And I was like, can we just, like, get through tomorrow first?
True.
She's like, it's just too long. 5 weeks is too long.
Yeah. So as of now, guys, my next show is the Romania Muscle Fest in Romania, believe it or not. So that's mid-November. And, yeah, I'm already super excited about that. Oh, my gosh. I'm not excited about the flight, though. I hate long flights. I'm so fidgety. Like, I have to get up and move. I hate being stuck in one spot. It's like, feel so restrained. I'm like, get me up. Give me a walk, and I need to do something. So, whew, wish me luck on that flight.
She'll walk up and down the aisles on long flights.
Right, I'll be doing some lunges. I don't know. But, yeah, it's tough for me to sit still that long. And I, unfortunately, can't sleep on planes either, unless I'm, like, fully reclined. But yeah, other than the flight, I'm really excited to visit Romania and do the whole European seminar, which if you guys didn't know, I'm doing like a European seminar tour in November. I'll be going to Romania to compete, but I'm not doing a seminar there, but I will be doing seminars in the UK, like 5 seminars in the UK, and then a seminar in Spain. And then I'm going to be competing in the Spain show as well.
Yeah.
The Big Man Weekend.
That's a cool stage.
That is a cool stage and a cool name. Like, you know what my motivation for that show is? Just to be called Miss Big Man Bikini. That would be, like, the coolest thing ever, to be Miss Big Man Bikini.
Yeah, screw the Olympia title, Miss Big Man.
Yeah, I want to be Miss Big Man. I feel like the translation didn't work as well there. But
as well, yes. So someone was Spanish, was there maybe their second language on that one? That's funny.
Oh, no. I mean, it's obviously geared more towards the guys. That's why.
Yeah,
Miss.
Yeah.
But it would be kind of cool just to be like, oh, yeah, Miss Big Man. That's me.
Look at you.
That's my motivation for Spain.
That's funny. That's a cool stage. They do a really good job over there. So
So
I'm excited to see that one, too. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And hopefully you get that, you can get a win. And then you can... She's one away, guys, just so you guys are, you know. She's one away from being the all-time most winning person ever in the IFBB, which is crazy to even think about, to be honest. It's like, to even say out loud is nuts.
Yeah, it is kind of nuts. Yeah. I just wanted to win one pro show when I turned pro. I thought that would be the pinnacle of my career, to win one pro show, and that would be it.
Yeah.
Look at me now.
I get a lot of people are always asking me, like, how does she keep doing it? How does she keep doing it? And I'm like, you got to understand it's a different mindset. It's not like your normal mindset, you know? And it's like anyone who does anything great doesn't have that normal mindset. And so, you know, people get mad or whatever or say it's too much, but they don't understand the mindset. It's like a Michael Jordan mindset, you know, a Tiger Woods mindset of like doing more, being great and becoming a legend, which is like people don't understand it. Like they don't fully grasp the concept because they think of like bikini as like bikini fitness and it's fun and it's this and it's that. And I'm like, you got to understand, like there's certain people out there that don't take it the same way. Like they are there to do something great in it. And it's like, it takes a lot of sacrifice to do it. So it's cool to see, to witness it for sure. And, and it's cool to see you witness it and still have success at the, you know, being a couple points away, 3 points away from the grand championship, right, of the sport too. And I think it says a lot. I think it says a whole lot for people who are questioning how much you could compete and how they can't improve by staying lean. And that's what I really like about it too, with what you've done, is you've kind of created a lot of exposure of to people like, no, you can live fit and you can still make improvements. Because you went up 4 slots at the world's, at the world level. You're number 3 in the world right now. Number 3 in the world, and you did that while competing 10 times, you know, what, even after, if you count after the Olympia, was there more after last year too? Was it maybe 11, 12 times since then? I don't know.
No. But shout out to the people that said, I'm just getting burnt out and that I'm ruining
your chances.
Ruining my chances at the Olympia, and I'm going to look worse and worse because I'm going to compete so much.
Yeah, but it's a good...
It's for the birds, you know?
I think it's great for people to see that, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, I can live lean. I can make improvements. I don't need to go through this bulking phase. You can look at her pictures from last year. She's dramatically improved. And I think that that's a really good lesson for people out there, you know, just to look at that and say, okay, whoever, you know, the old school coaches are that are saying you need to bulk... Show them the pictures. Be like, okay, well, can you explain this to me? This girl was significantly improved from year over year. She weighs more year over year and is leaner year over year and is an advanced athlete, still weighing more and being leaner at next year's Olympia, all while competing 10 times throughout the year. So you tell me that I need to bulk. I think that I'm going to call BS on that.
Right. And there's a difference between improving and bulking, right? But like, I will also add, just as a little disclaimer, I didn't need to make any major physique changes. The only thing I need to be cautious of is my upper body, but I didn't need to, like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like anything drastically to improve on. Just the shoulders, I got to keep an eye on those, but you can still do it. And, you know, it's funny that you say, like, people ask, how can you do it? And I'm more like, how can I not? Yeah. It's harder for me to stop than to keep going. I want to keep going. Yeah. I want to keep going so bad. Like, you have no idea. I'm like already like, oh, what's next? Come on, bring it on. I love it so much. And I think too is like the whole part of like living lean and living fit. I'm going to tell you guys something that might rub some people the wrong way. Okay. All right. So listen, I've been an athlete my whole life. I was a swimmer. I was a gymnast. I ran track in college, and here's where it's going to shock you guys. To be 100% honest, my college track days, the training for that was twice as hard as bikini. Easily. Easily, okay? I'm talking like twice a week doing 400-meter repeats on the track till I threw up. Like, do you know what the feeling of lactic acid buildup is? It sucks, okay? With bikini, the only, I guess the most challenging part would be the diet, right? It's the diet. But that has a lot to do with mindset too. But the training itself is easier than it was in track. I had to do 2-a-days in track, freaking 400-meter repeats till I threw up. And it wasn't on my own time. It was like first practice, 6 a.m. Second practice, 3 p.m. So, and in between that was also school and homework and commitments. Now it's like on my own time. I don't do 2-a-day practices till I throw up. I sure don't. The only thing that's tougher, to be honest, would be the diet. But I've learned to cook my food in a way where I enjoy it. I like to say I've retrained my taste buds, too, to where I don't even crave things like nachos. Sometimes I crave little cravings, like little sweets here and there, but not to the point where I'm like, I need to binge or anything like that. It's more like, oh, I would like, you know, a couple bites of a cookie, whatever. But it's nothing too serious. I really don't have cravings like that. And I don't really get that hungry anymore. So it's like I kind of trained my mind and my taste buds, and it all comes together. So I know that's kind of hard to hear, but track was a lot harder, honestly.
Yeah, and I agree with that too.
And I was doing that all year round. There was no breaks.
Yeah, I see those girls train. And even like a lot of college sports are like, you know,
yeah.
I would say are just the amount of work you have to do, yeah. you know? Like, I think that it does train, it does set you up for this.
To yeah, it's kind of like, oh, this is nothing.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
For sure. And it's because a lot of these high-level college sports are at least 2 hours a day of practice, at least.
Yeah. You know? Oh, more than that. Yeah. yeah. And it's that plus the skill work, which is not part of the actual, like, conditioning part of it. Like, you know, drills and skills and techniques and stuff like that. So it's a lot.
Yeah. And I think that another thing that, you know, potentially could rub people the wrong way, too, with how you live your life, too, and how I think that bikini, anyone who's doing physique competitions should live their life, is that healthy eating should be considered normal eating. And the problem is that in America and in a lot of these places that are very westernized, if you eat regular and healthy, like, that's considered healthy eating only because the standard is unhealthy. So, like, there's the baseline reference even of you eating healthy is considered eating healthy, but it should just be considered eating. You know what I mean? Oh, I just eat, and then occasionally I have junk food, a piece of junk food or something like that, right? But for everyone else, that's the baseline. That's like the baseline. And they're like, oh, you eat so healthy. You're like, no, I'm eating like normal, how you're supposed to eat for longevity and health. Like, that's that's just normal eating. You're eating like it's so, but it's so weird that the lens that people look at like a diet like yours at, which is just lean, good, nutritious foods, is sacrificial and healthy eating when it should be, when it was literally the only eating available, like 100 years ago, it was the only eating available, you know? And now we're like, oh no, now you're healthy eating, right? And now you're sacrificing so much. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you need to change your mindset, you know?
Exactly.
Like, this is regular eating. You're doing bad. Yeah. I'm doing good. Don't get mad at me because I'm eating how I'm supposed to eat. You know what I mean?
So I think a lot of people convince themselves like, I deserve this now. Yeah. I worked so hard, so I deserve this huge meal of cheesecake and hamburger and french fries. Like, I deserve it. And it's like, does your body want that? Do you think you're going to feel the best after eating that? For me, I think the opposite. I'm like, I want to treat my body right. Okay. Of course, I'll have some extra calories, you know, if I'm in a deficit. Yeah, I'll have some extra calories afterwards. But I mean, where are these calories come from? And am I really treating myself the best if I'm going to have something like that? Or am I going to feel like complete crap afterwards?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing about me is I am going to be honest, I'm not 100% perfect with the diet. It's not like, okay, listen, there's people out there that measure their stuff to a T and like eat on time. Like, I'm not like OCD like that. I'm like, you know, I'm not. It's like, oh, you know, I'm hungry. I'll eat whatever. I'm not 100% perfect, and if I do go off of my diet, it's more like I'll have nibbles of things, but I never really go all out with these huge meals or something like that, you know what I mean? So I'm by no means, like, perfect. Don't look to me and be like, oh my God, she's never cheated on her diet ever. No, little nibbles, snacks, munchies, whatever, you know, a little pick at something, but I don't go crazy. I don't have one of those huge meals because I know that it's going to make me feel like so much crap afterwards, you know? And I'm going to probably wake up the next day and be like regretting it. Like, oh, I just feel like I just feel sick. You know, the feeling of overdoing it after a show with a huge cheat meal of things you haven't had in forever and just has a negative side effect.
Yeah. And I think it's a good, because we're playing it as a sport too, you know, and I think that that's good for people to see, especially like here we have, you know, in the office, we have pros here and I'm like, well, you see what the target is. That's the target, like, and I think a lot of people don't understand is that if you compare yourself right now to that mindset of Ashley right now, you're gonna seem miles away, like you could never do it. But, and I was telling like Anya the other day too, I was like, this is a muscle just like any other muscle. And your mind is a muscle and you have to train your mind just like you train your body. And eventually you can end up at that state where it seems kind of, where you're in this state where you don't want to have cheat meals, where you want to have just a nibble and that's enough, where you don't like, but that takes time. That takes, just like building your body, building your mental strength is another part of it. And you guys, and when you're here, I think it's great for everyone. I think it's great for, especially because Anya has a ton of potential. I think she'll get to the Olympia this year coming up. And I'm like, that's where you need to be at. And if you can see the holes between now and where you're at and where she's at, and you can see where your improvement areas lie, you know, and it's an awesome standard to see for people who watch podcasts too. Like, one, if you compare yourself to her right now, you're not too many people are going to be there. A lot of pros are not even close to that. But years and years of doing it since you were in, you know, sports since you were a kid, you know, and eating for your sport and all that, like, it takes time. You know, it takes time to develop that too. So don't set yourself to the standard of that being it, but set yourself to the standard of you being better than yesterday and you being stronger than yesterday, and just continually mm-hmm. progress that and build that muscle. And then eventually your baseline could be at that kind of mental state too, right. which I think is great, you know? And so it's cool. I'm just really happy that the way the year worked out, mm-hmm. You know, you got third place, you did all these shows, you did really well. And it just, because one of the things that I always want to fight as a coach is the norms, you know, the norms that aren't right. And one of the norms that isn't right is a lot of people will do their show and then they blow up after their show and then they, you know, it hurts the girls' confidence, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't like it. And I'm like, if fitness was your jam before you did shows and now you're only in shape for shows and then blow up after the show and then you're in shape for a show and then blow up after the show, like, you're doing something wrong. And those girls have the hardest time with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just confidence-wise, you know? And I want you to be an example of, yes, you can make improvements. Yes, you can actually change your body for the positive while staying lean, while living lean. Eating healthy is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You're not sacrificing by eating healthy. You're just mm-hmm. doing what you're supposed to do for longevity and health and all that. So I'm really happy that you did it this route, you know, and it worked out the way it did because of that. It's a very good example.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I want to keep going like this, too. It's just like I think that was the best thing we could have done is doing all these shows because I learned so much.
We did.
Every single show, I learned so much. And what's funny is, like, I'm very, like, how do I explain it? I will see something I can fix, and what I want to do is I don't want to go into some off season and start eating. What I want to do is be like, oh, I want to get into the next show so I can fix what I can fix. Like, I will see, like, little things and be like, it kind of irritates me. Like, oh, my hair was flipped over this way. I don't like that. You know, something like that. I want to fix it. I want to correct it. And then go into the next show and correct it. Like, it kind of bothers me sometimes. I'm like, I want to fix it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we also need to take a step back and, like, look at, like, what is making us happy, okay? Is food making you happy? Because if food is the determining factor of your happiness, that might be an issue, right? For me, what makes me happy is meeting my goals, improving, having these amazing experiences, being able to compete all over the world. Like, who gets to do that? Not many people.
Yeah.
That's what makes me happy. It isn't, like, food. It isn't, like, oh, getting to eat, like, whatever I can or whatever I want. That's kind of like a low form of happiness. I mean, if that really is your happiness, then yikes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It
just seems like such, if we're looking at the bigger picture, like, accomplishing the goals is what makes me happy long term, not 5 minutes of satisfaction with a cheesecake.
Yeah, and if that is it, it's... You really do have to look at look at yourself and see if this is the right sport, you know, for you, because it's a lot of sacrifice goes into this level, at this level, you know, a lot of sacrifice, mm-hmm. and people don't really see it, but it's not going to be a short thing. It's not going to be you being good only for 12 weeks. It's way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so I would definitely assess that, what brings, and it's a good thing, a good point, bring what makes you happy, you know?
Yeah.
And I've done that with my own self too. And then as a coach, it's just like, you know, it's a lot different for me. And for me, it was like, okay, do I want to grow and grow and grow like Team Elite? And I was like, at a certain point, I was like, no, this is it. I don't want any more coaches. I don't want to take on a bunch of athletes and make it not fun and just make it hard and make mm-hmm. it work. Like, I enjoy our journey a lot, and I never want to do anything to compromise that. I've actually already had a couple pros already reach out to me. And I told them that right now is not the right time, you know, because we got a lot going on. Phoebe's going to be doing great this year. I think Anya's competitive this year too. And so, I'm already it's important for me. It's about like having the experiences mm-hmm. and progressing the athlete and learning. And I think that especially this year, like with you, we really learned a lot. Like,
oh, yeah.
I will say for sure this year, I learned more about pro bikini than any prior year mm-hmm. that I ever have. And I've had good years, but this year was like, it was like a crash course of like, it was like a crash course of little tiny details. And now what's really cool is like, we studied and studied and studied and studied, like every show, every single show, just looking at little, like we're talking an inch of elbow movement, like things like that. We're talking shape of hair and all these little intricacies that people don't even see. And it's funny now, I've just got this lens that's so sharp right now that I'm like, I could see it and I'm like, oh, there it is, there it is, you know? And it was, this year was like really cool to sharpen that tool. It was really awesome year to sharpen that tool. And yeah, just visually, I mean, I don't know if you got that same thing this year where you just improved so much, but it's like, I'm doing these like assessments now, like physique assessments and stuff. And I'm like, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh, this.
Yeah.
And I think before I would have been like this and this, you know, but now I'm like, seven things, like you're a mess, you know?
Yeah.
And then, and it's like, and then now I can just be like, oh no, it's, there's so much there, you know, so much room for improvement. So it's like, it's really cool to do it this way. Where we're at in terms of like my own happiness too, is I'm in a good spot with everything, you know? I'm really happy. I think the travel time is adequate. It's right. Everything's where I want it to be. So I'm not, I'm having a good time.
Living the dream, man. Yeah, I think it's fun to learn. I feel like every show is like, you know, different set of challenges, and that's what makes it interesting. And like we said, he's unpredictable, but I guess it's also what keeps you on the edge of your seat too, right? And then it's like, I love to improve each show, even if it's something so small, even if you guys can't notice it, I promise there's some, at least something I'm changing every single show. Something. It might be so minute, you might not pick it up. But every time I'll take a look at my photos, even after prejudging, be like, what can I fix? What can I fix? I can step here better. I can angle myself better this way or that way. Or maybe I should just, you know, put my hair on this side rather than that side. It's something every single time. But, you know, all those little things definitely add up at the end of the day to the bigger picture. And I would not have been able to learn these things if I didn't compete so much. And I had the most fun year of my entire life this year. I think a lot of people might look at it and be like, oh, that must be miserable staying in prep that long. And I'm like, nah, it's just life. And life's amazing. I wouldn't have my life any other way. Honestly, I'm having so much fun. I feel like I'm like the luckiest girl in the world. I feel like Cinderella. Like,
that's so cool.
I'm in the perfect like scenario to do this. You know, I don't have kids. I don't have a family that's here. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have pets. I can do whatever the heck I want. I call the shots. I make the rules. I have an awesome coach that supports me and is so enthusiastic just like me. I have an awesome sponsor that takes care of everything, that loves to see me compete. I have, like, a lot of people on my team, a lot of people helping me. You know, I'm just so lucky. And, you know, I have the body to do it. I have the mindset to follow through with everything. I'm like, I was made for this.
Yeah, you really were made for it. Your body's tough, you know? Mm-hmm. It's got longevity in it for sure. Like, it is not getting, like, people are like, oh, she's going to get a worn out look. I'm like, when? I'm like, tell me when, you know? Because we're in like 50 shows. So when is that going to happen? You keep saying that. I'm like, but she's getting better. It's not getting worse. Mm-hmm. It's getting better. So like, you have these preconceived notions of what the human body's capable of. And I don't have that. I just go off of feedback of what the body says it's capable of after it does it, you know? And like, everyone's like, oh, she's going to be tired. I'm like, when? It's so funny. Like, you're the expert, right? You tell me when. So, you know, you name someone who's done it and show me how they look. So it's pretty cool to see that you're like breaking all those standards too. And you know what? Yeah. Shout out to your sponsors too. We should give them a shout out because honestly, they've had a good year and High Tech has been High Tech. Seriously, you guys are awesome. Like, you're an awesome sponsor. I appreciate what you do for Ashley.
Oh yeah. So if you guys are wondering how the heck I can afford to go all these shows, it's because of High Tech. They pay for everything. They pay for my accommodations, hotel, travel, tanning. If I needed anything associated with competitions, food or anything, they take care of it. You know, Trifecta. Trifecta is awesome. Send me food. That's how I stay on track, man. If you know, we don't have time to cook sometimes when we're going show to show like that. They send it.
And they send it to me too. So thank you.
Yes, Trifecta.
They keep me fed and keep me.
Yes. Yes. And then Angels.
Angels with the suits.
They are just, you know what's so awesome about them? They will go so far out of their way just to make sure my suits are on point. And if, like, I promise you, if I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do a show this weekend, I need a suit by tomorrow, I promise you, they would make it happen. Yeah. They make it happen for me. They are so amazing. And anytime you need anything, they're there. You know, Liquid Sunrays, tan sponsor, still sporting their tan.
Yes, still sporting.
Stage Ready Hair takes care of my hair needs.
Yeah, we should, you know what? And then on, just to go into a little bit with Angels, but they've been really good to me for, I want to say like 7 years, something like that, something crazy. And I've had instances of like, even people who weren't on like Ashley's level, just someone at USA's or something like that, where the suit really didn't fit them that right. And I just text, I'll just text them and be like, hey, this suit's a little off. Do you have anyone here? And I've had him literally in the room, like 40 minutes later with hand stitching someone's suit to be shorter on the top. Like, yeah. They're like, I'll get on it. We'll get someone there right now. And I'm like, we have someone there. And they're like, I'm like, you guys are like crazy good with the service, you know? And
oh, yeah.
And like, I'm, and I will say, you know, and I feel, apologize for some of these people. I am really hard to work with. When it comes to like suits and cuts and all these different things, because I'm super particular, and like, and every time there's been an issue, they'll fix it if there is one. But at this point, I'm not really running into issues. But mm-hmm. before, I'm just like, I'm very hard to work with because I expect a very certain look, and different girls have different shapes. So it's like, you know, I'm sending a lot of suits back sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's really nice to have someone like that. And then with yours, another one, your stage ready hair, I don't think people understand like the hair side of things. Yep. And what goes into it. But Ashley, tell them about what you wear.
So stage ready hair is great because you can get extensions from your local salon, but stage ready hair specializes in competition hair. So they got all your hair extension needs. Like, they know how to do hair specifically for stage. So look them up. And also, I wanted to go back to Angels real quick, just to mention Kara, the owner of Angels Competition Bikinis, has decided to be the replacement Adam for the European seminar. So since you're unable to come to the European seminar, freaking Kara stepped in and said, you know what, Ashley, I'll go with you. So she's coming with me to Romania. She's coming with me to UK. She's coming with me to Spain. The whole thing, she'll be there making sure that she's the replacement pageant mom. And she'll also be talking a little bit about suits too, helping out with the seminar. But I thought that was really awesome of her to volunteer to be the replacement Adam.
Well, that's good. Well, hopefully she...
So I won't be all alone. Thank you, Kara.
Hopefully she does an adequate job. It's an easy role to fill. Don't worry.
I feel like she looks like she'd be a loud cheerleader.
Yeah. Yeah, she would be. So that's really cool. Thank you for that.
And they're making me some special suits for Europe. I thought, you know what? Since I'm in Europe, let's get a little crazy. Let's get a little wild. So I'm going to try some different colors maybe in Europe. And
still not royal blue, though.
Not royal blue. That's really... I refuse to do a true blue or purple because everyone's doing that. I refuse to conform.
But I got her to red. That's pretty good. I got her to red.
It took a while to get red. Yeah. You know how long it took to get out of my green? I was green since 2012 till 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's how long it took me to get out of green. In those eight years, I was some form of green, whether it be a bluish green or an emerald green or an army green or a grass green, Kelly green. I was always green.
She's always green.
I'm a person of my ways, right?
She goes. What's funny is she was like tempting to wear a different color suit to the Olympia. And she was like, we're going back and forth with it. And then she's like, well, I feel like they've seen me in red so much that I've worn it too much. And I was like, Ashley, you've worn green since you were a fetus.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? Too much. It's so funny.
I'm always afraid they're not going to recognize me. Like, I have to start my whole career over. Like, who's this new girl on stage? Like, I don't know. I feel like I lose my identity, right? But since we're in Europe, I figure, you know what? Let's test the waters a little bit, you know? Let's test the waters. So you might be seeing me in a few different colors. Nothing too crazy, though. It's nothing like you wouldn't kind of already expect, but...
We should get a vote and see what people want to see you in, what color they want to see you in.
I guarantee you it's not going to be purple, though. Or like a
blue. I think
if a blue is like a greenish blue, yes. But
I think a bright, and I'm not because of the team colors, you know. But I think a bright royal blue would look good on you. But I like the red the best. I don't think that I'm gonna like any other color more than red.
Red
to be
did
honest.
Pop. The only thing I was saying about red is like it's a tough color because there's not much variation you can do with it. Because like green, like I said, you can go many different ways with green: emerald, grass green, Kelly green, bluish green, teal. Like you can do a lot with green. You can do a lot with blue.
Yeah.
Red is tricky because you don't want to go burgundy. That does not pop on stage. Yeah. It does not. And then you can go like an orangish red, but it can kind of get a little too close to like your tan color, which is a little tricky. And then there's the magenta red option, but that if I were to do a variation, it might be more towards that. However, I just don't think a magenta would fit me so well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But not saying that those colors look bad on any other person. I'm saying for me personally. Because it all has to do with skin tones, right? Skin tones make all the difference. Like, darker skin athletes can sometimes get away with pastels. I can't get away with a pastel. But and vice versa. It all depends on your skin tone. So although I just mentioned a whole bunch of red tones that didn't work, I'm referring to me personally.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The only option is that, I guess, true fire engine cherry red that I've been wearing.
And I love that red. Another good thing for the girls listening to this, a lot of girls are like, oh, I'm doing another show, I need a new suit. And they're like doing new suits like all the time. Like, how many times did you wear that red suit? I mean, until the wheels fell off on that thing.
I'm retiring that suit. Yeah. It's actually on your display case, it's had its run.
What do you have on that show? Seven shows on that suit alone?
Oh,
probably?
More than that, I think.
Yeah.
More than that.
Yeah, and so for the girls who are like, I need a new suit every time, like, you don't need a new suit every time.
Yeah.
Like, her, even, like, she wore it so much, like, even gems were falling off of it.
So, yeah. But it's definitely gotten used. It's gotten its use, that's for sure. But yeah, I think like a lot of people look at everyone else and think they have to conform just like that, you know? And that goes with everything with competitions too. Of course, you don't want to be so outside the box where you're just like purposely like, I don't know, being a rebel, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do everything that everyone else is doing. And I'll even take my presentation for example. Guess who was the only person in the whole Olympia lineup, or actually I will even go as far as to say every pro show now, that doesn't do a back walk in their presentation. That's me. I don't do a back walk in my presentation. Everyone else does.
Yeah.
Everyone else does. But I'll tell you what, I even asked the main head judge before. I'm like, hey, question. Everyone does a back walk in their presentation. Is that something that, like, we have to do? Do you score down if we don't do it? And she says, no. Absolutely, you do not have to. You don't. She said, in fact, the more you do, the more poses you do and the more you add on to your routine is more opportunity for us to see your flaws. So stick to what's best and it's most flattering to your physique. And all this added fluff is just room for mistake.
Yeah.
You know? So I took that and I'm like, I was nervous. I was even debating. I was like, maybe I should, because everyone else is doing it. But at the end of the day, you don't need. And maybe I'll add it in someday if I'm feeling feisty. But my presentation's long enough as it is right now. It's not abnormally short now. I've created it in a way to where I don't need to do that necessarily. So
And going into that too, Sandy said it in seminars that the longer people are on stage, she said when they first come out, I'm like, wow, and I see them and I'm impressed and I'm like, wow, she looks great and this and that. And then the longer they stay up there, I'm like, okay, well, this could be improved. So like she says, the longer that you're on the stage, the more time I have to like lose that initial wow and start seeing the flaws. So so that was kind of one of her feedbacks at like pro, like before pro shows and stuff too. So take that for what it is for you pros out there that are doing like these really long routines.
Yeah.
Might be beneficial to you. You know, if you got no flaws, then great. But mostly everyone does, and they start becoming obvious.
Maybe it's not even necessarily the walk that it would be their flaw. Maybe it's something else, but they're just adding it onto the routine just because they feel like it needs to be longer or whatever that, or just because they see everyone else do it. Here's what happens is somebody will like win with doing something that's different, right? And then everyone will start to pick up on that.
Yeah.
She told me, she's like, you know, that became a thing like 2 years ago. Like one or two girls were doing it, and then like they did well. You know, not necessarily because of the back walk, but they started doing well, then everyone else just started to copy it, you know? So it's kind of like things become a trend, and then everyone else does it, and who knows, maybe a pose that I was doing, my little hand on the hip thing, maybe if somebody sees I did that, they'll start doing that too, and that becomes a thing. You never know. Yeah. So it's kind of like that's how trends start.
You know what became a trend is Chris Bumstead's mustache in Classic Physique.
Oh, I mean, there you go.
How many damn guys are wearing that mustache in Classic Physique? I was like, it works for Chris, but like, Come on, guys. Everyone looks like a cop in Classic Physique. It was a little comical, to be honest. It was like, but like the littlest things, your green suit became a trend. You know, everyone was wearing green for a couple of years. And it's like, Angelica's purple suit became a trend. And everyone's wearing purple for a couple of years. It was like, it's really funny how these little things like
and
start
now, off. Wellness, you're going to be seeing a lot of blondes with red suits now. Because everyone feels like that's what they got to do to win. Because that's who like was winning. If you guys didn't catch the Olympia, top three at the Wellness Olympia were all blondes with red suits. Yep. How crazy. But I bet you people are going to start to dye their hair blonde, wear a red suit. Just you guys watch.
100%. It was funny because Becky posted that. And then I wrote on her in the comments in Becky's photo. I was like, proof that it was never about being brunette, you know, because it's like all three were everyone was like, oh, you got to be brunette. I was like, no, it's just
they'll be like, oh, I didn't win because I wasn't a brunette. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh God, don't even. Like, people see things and then they assume that just because it's like they look a certain way, that's the reason why they won, and you have to dye your hair brown or black or whatever. So, you know, I think blondes definitely can pull it off on stage, but, you know, you can't, I would say just make sure it's like a good tone of blonde. I think sometimes if you get too like a white of a blonde or too yellowy, it kind of looks a little odd, but it's not necessarily make or break. You just have to have the right tone of it.
I think the only blonde that would hurt you would be like if you were that very mild blonde where it's almost the color of your hat, kind of like starting to be golden blonde, where it's like very monochromatic with your tan. But I think other than that, as long as there's some contrast, then you're fine. You know, so that's the only time I think it really, really would play into it at all.
But, right, totally. It's like you got to have your own style at the end of the day. I mean, even not necessarily in bikini this year, but you'll see in other divisions, there's so many different hairstyles and stuff. Like, it's like, you know, I think like when bikini first started, everyone thought you had it where it either like kind of like a pageant curl type hair or like straight. And now you'll see a whole bunch of different types of hair, like shorter hair, really big curls are in style apparently now, which Jen pulls it off so good. I love her hair. But you'll see a whole bunch of different hairstyles. So it's kind of cool. You just got to find your own unique, you know, style and go with it, whatever works for you.
So anyway, I guess final notes, any final notes from the Olympia to finish this one off?
Yeah. Thanks for all the support, everyone. And, I'm not done yet. I still got some more shows this year. I'm going to be really bored in that 3-month gap after my last show of the year. And the other show isn't until March, right? Arnold in March. That's a crazy long gap for me. So.
Yeah, but it starts with the bang, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any shows that'll come out. Because the shows aren't listed. Right now they're only listed till the 22nd of December. So you never know. One might pop up before then. We'll see what comes up this year. But expect to be seeing Ashley, again, putting some miles on those tires, that's for sure.
Yeah. Just getting started, man.
Yeah, the way that this year went was just proof that we got to keep it going. That's
heck
all
yeah.
It was, you know? So thank you guys for everything, all the support this year on this crazy journey of ours. And we will talk to you later.
Bye.